Welcome to the Blueprint episode. I've forgotten what episode we are now.
17.
There you go. That's our producer Dorian in the background. My gosh, Conrad subs. We've got double bubble today. The first part of the show we've got Conrad, and the second part of the show we've got Martin. Obviously, we've just been moving stuff about, but double bubble. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Cheers.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much for coming all the way from Ipswich. Sorry I'm a little bit late. I had a bit of car trouble, but we're here now. I've got to say, though, it's nice to see the sun and feel that warmth.
It is, yeah, it makes a difference.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Conrad Subs, what can I say? Junglist producer. I first met you, was it 2016, 2017, when I first started hitting you up to get tunes?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Ipswich.
Born and bred,
still live there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I've got a lot of history with Ipswich. So tell us a little bit about your journey of how you came to be in the jungle DMB scene.
Yeah, well, I've been producing for years, so probably 20 years. And I used to go under loads of names. It was like DJ Nifty, ADK, a few. And I, like early 2000s, I was doing a music production course in Norwich, and I was sending tunes out, and I was DJing around Ipswich and Norwich a bit, but I wasn't really.
What DJ name was that?
That's probably Nifty, I reckon, that one. So I was sending tunes out. I didn't really have any release. I had one release, and then as life went on, I had kids. Got married, and I thought, well, I've got to prioritise the family a bit, so music sort of went to one side, plus the PC died, so I thought, well, that's the sign. So I left it for a few years, but I thought, oh, that's it, it'll just be, just I'll just listen to the music and not be involved, but I couldn't, but it was all in my head, I had to get involved. So January 1st, 2017, I thought, right, I'm going to buy a laptop and get involved again. First off, I'll just make some tunes for myself just because I wanted to do it. But, I started making them and thought, oh, yeah. After a while, I thought, hang on, these ones sound all right, actually. So, yeah, so then I just started sending them out to people and seeing what I could get. And, and then it just started taking off. I went from there, really,
How did you get the name? How did you come up with Conrad?
I don't know. I just thought, oh, that sounds cool.
As most things do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was around the 2017 summertime I picked up on you. There was quite a few of you around at the same time. There was you, there was Joe, there was Martin, there was Hybrid was coming through and doing his label and his stuff. And so I think you sent it to me.
I sent you that Pretty Dangerous.
Big tune. And, so you kind of went from doing nothing to a period of having a release every other 2 weeks. We talked about this because you made so many tunes, and I was like, con. Like every time on the radio, I was like, what? And another promo, and another promo, and another promo. And I think this went on for like a block of 3 months, but then it's calmed down now.
You told me to sort it out.
Well, I did say to you, no, but you know what it is? And I think it's really important. By the way, everyone, welcome to Blueprint, episode
17.
This is Conrad Subs. He's also had releases on Dub Plate Tread. And what was really nice was I was reviewing, I think, one of the Ram things, and you've got a track on their album, haven't you, their compilation album?
Yes, I did have one, yeah.
So that's nice to see you progress. But I think what it is, it's a body of work, isn't it? Because it might take 20 tunes or 50 tunes to make Dangerous.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and there's a few other things that you've done. And what I like about you, Con, is you're quite versatile. And I said that to you at the beginning. Yeah. Spread your wings. Don't just stay in one thing. Yeah. Just like Martin, he's going to be on the show in a bit. And I think that's really important. As well as the technology has changed.
Yeah.
Because obviously you were using hardware before you went onto the laptop,
I mean, years ago. I mean, it's so easy now to get your tracks heard, isn't it? Like, years ago, when I was like an 18-year-old now can get their tunes to you, you know, within seconds. But I remember going to the post office with stacks of CDRs, and you know, you'd have to find the addresses of labels. Sometimes you'd be lucky they'd be on the vinyl sleeve or something, and go and send them out, and then you don't hear anything back, and it's just
you're so destroyed.
But now, like when I came back and thought I'll give it another go, and went through SoundCloud, I thought, oh, you know, I'll send it here. That's how I started. You know, I got in the habit of sending tunes out to everyone because I got addicted. It's like, well, they like it. I'll send some here and I'll send some there. And then before you know it, you know,
you're getting signed. But it's good because now you've got that consistency. Any young producers out there, how would you describe to them what to do? What advice would you give them?
I think a good thing to do is probably not surround yourself with yes men, and probably try and get your tracks heard. You could even try and send them directly to some artists you respect, and you might get lucky and see if they can respond and give you some feedback. But try and get some honest feedback, because I think a lot of people, they'll make a track and play it to their best mate, and the best mate will go, yeah, that's sick, but it might not be. And then
there's in other words, what you're saying, quality control.
You need
someone with a little bit of A&R and skills. No, 100%.
And it's good to get feedback, and like every time I've got constructive criticism, you know, sometimes it might hurt. You might think, oh, I thought that was really good, and this person who I respected has said it's not. But then that helps you think, right, that's where I've got to improve. You know, like when I first sent you tunes, and you were like, yeah, the tune's great, but you've got to sort out your mix downs a bit. And that spurred me on. I was like, right, okay, now I'm going to focus on this aspect, yeah. You know. So,
mate, I'm telling you that it's nice to see a fresh batch of guys come through production-wise. What's the first jungle tune that you heard that changed your life, brother?
First one that I knew the name of, because I was hearing bits and bobs, but I didn't know any of the names, was Music by Bookham. That was the first one. I was like, wow, this is... I listened to it the other day, actually. It came on like shuffle, and I was like, still something about that, yeah. That track. Just the way it builds, and then it changes. You know, I love that, how it starts off all nice and musical, but towards the end, it starts getting dark, and then he brings in like the strings and stuff.
Yeah.
Still mad.
But. Yeah, he's a don, and I remember hearing that at Rage.
Yeah.
Fabio drew that, or was it Ryder? One of the two. They both drew his tunes, but it just gives it an extra dynamic. So that was the first tune that kind of musically, that you heard. And what about Jungle? What Jungle tune did you hear?
Because I started listening to it about 96, so I came in just after sort of like the big peak of Jungle. But I always loved Babylon and Oh Gosh, Undercover Agent, Oh Gosh. I used to love that. Set Speed, Crust, you know, those sorts of tunes.
Ipswich, just go back.
Yeah.
I used to be resident at Cinderella's.
Right.
Now you're too young to remember that. So you know when you come into Ipswich and into Central, and then you've got the bus depot on the right.
Yeah.
So on the left there used to be in the middle there used to be a place called Dolce Vita,
right?
Which they used to do soul nights there. And on the left they used to do Cinderella's, was a proper ghetto club.
Yeah.
And I played there, and I had a residency there for years. Talking about then. 85, 86, 87,
yeah.
When it was the soul rare groove. But there's, even if you go that whole Ipswich, Yarmouth, Norwich, in Yarmouth there was Tiffany's. Did you ever get to go to Tiffany's?
No.
Oh, mate, we had some, that's where all Easy Rollers are from, and Richie, JMJ. All of them lot, they were all from there. And that was such a, it's like everywhere had its pockets.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? It was an amazing time. What are your influences of music? Where did they come from?
Well, it was like my mum and dad weren't really that musical, you know. Like my mum, like the old top 40 stuff and that. So when I got to high school and that, it was just taken in. Like as soon as you, like when I first heard drum and bass, I'd never heard anything like it. You know, I was like, at first I was like, what the hell is this? But you know.
How old was you then?
I must have been 12, 13 when I first heard it. And yeah, and then that just pulled me in. But then, you know, then I first started listening to hip hop and I was like, oh, what's this? And then a bit of house and, you know, some rock and bits and bobs. So, but drum and bass is the one that's always kept me back, you know, kept pulling me back. So,
And who would you say influenced you the most?
Dillinger, probably. Just too many tunes to even mention, but like Silver Blade and Threshold and yeah, loads of them. The Goldie, like Goldie's Timeless as well. And you know, when I was really getting into it, first started getting into it, you know, that's when Represent New Forms LP hit, and
97
and 97, then yeah. And then there was Wormhole LP,
yeah, Airbrush and Optical.
Yeah, music was changing so quick as well, yeah. Wasn't it? It was, yeah, like when I got into it, it was all breakbeats, and then it went completely flipped and was like going all dark. And then, you know, then Fabio started pushing Liquid Funk out of nowhere, and I was like, "What? This is, you know, it was so exciting." And I was when I left school, that was like my routine. Was just weekends was just going out, and then I'd listen to Fabio and Groove Rider. Radio 1 on a Friday or Saturday, whenever it was. You were on Vibe FM.
That's right, which then became,
yeah,
Kiss.
Yeah, which became, yeah, Kiss. Yeah. I used to, like, religiously every week, I used to set, if I was going out and I knew I was going to miss it, I could set record on my tape, and then first thing Sunday morning, I'd be like, right, listen to Ray's show, right, write down what tunes are going that I like, and then I'd go and buy them, go down to Red Eye Records and buy them, you know. So,
of course, yeah, yeah, bigging up Red Eye, you know. Yeah. They've been there from day one, you know.
They have, yeah.
They really have been there. And there was another long-time promoter in Ipswich that's put on parties.
There's Parallel Motion and...
what's the other one?
What are their nights called? Drawn a blank now. yeah, I've drawn a blank.
And their nights have been going on. I mean, I've never played it for them. I think maybe once. I think Nicky's played quite a few times for them.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, even the whole of Norfolk and Suffolk with the likes of Blade Runner,
yeah,
Mr. Explicit,
well,
T.I.
When I was at music college, I was there with Venom, who used to DJ with
Big
D,
yeah,
at the time. And I remember
Blade Runner.
I remember the Dame coming in going, Big D signed some tunes with Ray Keith. And I was like, what? Wow, that's mad. I remember that day so clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, no, I was only on the phone to Devon the other day and we were talking. And he said to me, he was 40 or something, or 42, and he went, I remember when you was 42. And I used to go around his house and his mum used to cook us food. Do you know what I mean? Because he would engineer. But those times that we spent in the studio, when you look back now, and our dread sound, because I think all of you guys have been able to, like, whether it's Ram, whether it's Metalheads, whether it's me, whether it's V, you know, like the V Recordings vibe, you guys have managed to fit all those pigeonholes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Quite comfortably.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about you. And now I can kind of make the connection. Now you're telling me about what you like, and now I can see the musicality from that kind of Fabio and Bookham vibe. Because sometimes, as an artist, you have to compromise, because I get a lot of the new artists that are worrying about what's going on now. Oh, but this is the sound. And it's like, mate, I don't go about this is the sound.
Yeah.
I want to make timeless music. So if you play that in 5 years or 10 years, people are going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's another good bit of advice I give to someone, is don't watch everyone else.
No.
Just make stuff you want to hear, you know? And like people like my age, we grew up, you know, with listening to Dread tunes, and, you know, like Dread Come to Conquer and
Danny C,
Something Out There.
Yeah.
You know, I used to love those tunes. Like Dread Come to Conquer, that Eamon, when I was like, what, this Eamon is, that is mad.
And do you know when I first met them, how they were making music? I went round to Danny's place with Mike. Michael, he's engineer at the time. Sorry, Mike Pease and Danny C. I went round there and I was like, so where's your mixing desk? And they went, that's it. I went, what? They went, that mixer is it. And it was like the old Gemini mixer,
right.
But it just had two faders.
Yeah.
So I said, how? And they went, but we're putting two things out on each channel. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Is that your... And I just, it was so mind-baffling to me.
Yeah.
And the way Mike... I mean, Mike's a genius, do you know what I mean? Like, Danny was more of the producer and the ideas man, but Mike, oh my days. And I just looked at it and I thought, but people, and that's the thing, isn't it? When you first start making music, you don't have to have loads of stuff. No. You just make it simple, do you know what I mean?
Well, like the first tunes I signed and started releasing were literally just the laptop and some headphones, and that was it. Didn't have anything else.
You wasn't even listening back to monitors or nothing?
No,
so when we were telling you, turn it up, mix down this, that and the other...
Well, I remember when I first spoke to you on the phone, you were like, what monitors are you using? I was like, I'm not. I'm using these little Sony headphones that I bought. And you're like, look, you need to get some monitors. I was like, right.
What monitors have you got now?
Now I've got the Adam Audio T7Vs or TV7s, yeah. Whichever ones they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who has influenced you on your journey? Who gave you your breaks along the way until you started to put it out on bigger labels?
Well, Hybrid was the main one. I mean, I've released more music with him than anyone else. And
he's a good. I put his first bits. Like when he first had the labels, I was on him hard. Do you know what I mean? That was 2017 that I think I won the best radio show for the Jungle Awards, and you lot were up there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Me and Joe were there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you got best new.
I got nominated for newcomer. Newcomer producer.
Best newcomer. Yeah. Because.
Yeah.
Alex won it that year, didn't he? I'm sure. Did
yeah,
he win?
Probably.
Yeah. Big up Alex Hybrid. You know?
Big ups.
Does our mastering, and he's done a lot for the scene. I'm trying to get him on the show, but like all your good selves, I think it's nice to have fresh, new blood to come in and do what we're doing. Yeah, and without a doubt, brother, you've earned your stripes. You're a 4-star general.
No, nice.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, because when I listen, it's like a label, yeah? You know, like when you used to go to the shop and go, I need to listen to that label, because I know that they're going to have bangers.
Yeah.
When I listen to a Conrad Subs tune, I'm like... And sometimes I'm looking for the tune. I'm trying to find the tune. It might be three or four in, and I'll go, that's the one I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because there'll always be something, and that's your signature. And I think that's a beautiful thing. But, yeah, bigging up Alex. Anybody else that gave you a break?
When I started out, I was making loads of Liquid as well. So there was Soul Deep Recordings, which was Scott Allen in the States. He released a lot of my music and pushed that side of things as well. So, you know, every release sort of opened new doors. And
what artist's name was that under?
That was still under Conrad Subs.
Okay.
That was all, yeah. So, just every now and then you'd send something to someone else, and because they'd heard maybe stuff with Hybrid, they're more likely to actually listen to it for a start. And then maybe not sign it, but might say, come back with something else. That's, you're nearly there, you know. So, but yeah, I've released on loads of labels, releases with you, and you know, you start getting up there. I was like, oh, I got a release with Ray Keith. I was like, this is mad, you know.
Come on, no, but we recognise the talent because you know, this is the platforms. I mean, when I saw you on the RAM thing, I was like, yeah, that's it, makes me happy. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't hold back. We do, you know, we build. We don't tear down. And I think it's a gateway for us to open the door for you. Do you know what I mean? What's the biggest? Have you managed to play abroad yet?
I played abroad a couple of times. I did. Romania was the last one, just before lockdown.
How was that?
That was amazing. Yeah.
What's that feeling like, Con, of now you're playing your own music and you're out there and you've got a fan base?
It still weirds me out, like when people, you know, when strangers come up to me and, oh, I love your tunes, or they name a tune that I might have made 3 years ago, and I'm still like, I can't believe that, you know, someone would listen to it anyway. But Yeah, it's great. You know, although you can't knock it, can you?
So, no, it's a beautiful thing. How does your family think? Your mum and dad think? What do they?
Oh yeah, my mum's mega proud. We went to a wedding, a family wedding, last year. And the DJ there had Spotify going. My mum was straight up there. Oh, can you play Conrad Subs? He played one of my tunes and everyone was dancing.
At the wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
That was good.
That's amazing.
Mum and dad are proud and my wife's super supportive. So
that's good.
Yeah, it's all good.
And what's the biggest gig that you've played in the UK?
Biggest one in the UK. Couple years ago, I did one for that Alex Hybrid had sorted out. It was like Deep in the Jungle night in Manchester with Block to Block. That was cool. I played Tear Out Festival last summer. That was
it's
good.
A great feeling, isn't it, to go out there and
yeah.
And also, you're a DJ before you was a producer, so you know it's not the other way around for you.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is good. Which is good. And what have you got coming up now?
I've got. Next up, I've just had an EP with SS on Formation. I've got another EP in the works with Hybrid. I've got a Jungle Cakes EP coming out within the next month, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think I reviewed that. Was it a two-track or three-track or something?
It's a four-track Stamina EP.
Oh, okay, too, yeah.
It's got that. I've got doing something with Doc Scott as well. A few other bits.
But that's good. You're just building that platform and doing...
Yeah, I'm trying not to go crazy now and just release everywhere.
And what about your own label now? What are you thinking about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did have two little labels which have been running for... One I did in lockdown, which was Deep Pan, which was... I just thought, when lockdown hit, I thought, well, the rave's all shut. This is the perfect time just to push some slightly different sort of drum and bass, you know? So I was putting 7-8 minute tunes out again and... bringing the tempo down a little bit, you know, like 168, 170. But now I'm going to, on this year, I'm refocusing. I'm not shelving those labels. They're just sitting on the bench for a bit. I'm starting a new one launching in May called Cobra. And I'm just going to focus on myself for a bit and put my own tunes out and really try and push them. Because you get in the habit. There's so much music comes out now, especially in like drum and bass every week. It's like, it's not all just by me, but everyone's, you know, there's just hundreds of releases.
Yeah, apparently, each week. I think I looked at the statistics and it's like 6,000 tracks get released every week.
Right, well.
Like Beatport and Juno, and it's like there's no quality control.
No, and, you know? and everyone gets caught in that cycle as well. And you know the feeling, like when you're an artist and you get released on a label and then the next week or 2 days later, they're already promoting the next release that's coming out a week later. And you're like, you know, tunes are just so disposable. So this label, I'm just going to put out a couple of tracks at a time, but I really want to focus on trying to push them for a longer time. Whether or not that works, I don't know, but...
Do me a favour, send me some of these Soul Deep things. I'm playing at Swerve next week.
Yeah.
And any other little bits. I'm going to get you to come and play for our Blueprint night. We've got some touring dates coming up, so I'll get you involved in that.
Nice.
I just thought it was... I wanted to get you on. It's been a mad, mad time, obviously, in the last couple of years, let alone couple of weeks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
R.I.P. to Skibber.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up, You, these are the tape packs that you would have heard, you know, Shabba, Skibber, everybody.
I spent hours in my bedroom pretending to be Skibber.
I think we've all done that. I've done that as well. I've done that without a doubt. Behind closed doors, you know what I mean? But his legacy will live on. Do you know what I mean?
He was super supportive of... I mean, I never met him, but he did, you know, a few messages on social media and a few shares and likes and stuff and shout outs, you know, and even like when lockdown hit, he was doing his daily, his show, and he was just pushing drum and bass. Yeah. It's all, you know, he just wanted everyone to win, didn't he?
So, yeah, 100%. He was a very giving guy and also knew about music, you know, loved the, you know, even though, like all of us, from the old days, you have to adapt, you have to change and love what's going on. And he was right at the top of, you know, with the likes of Critical Impact and Japper, and do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, right at the cutting edge. And I think people don't realise sometimes that this is a lifelong commitment that we've got. I mean, we're all now obviously older, but that passion, I don't think it ever leaves you, does it?
No.
And even when you thought it was done, you thought, this is it, I'm going to take a back seat. And then look what happened when you just... Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just the right time. It was just timing was right, I think. And I put the effort in. I was a bit older, out partying less.
Yeah.
Put the time in, you know?
Yeah.
So,
how do you... I want you to get in the mix as well, because we've got Martin coming up. But we're going to go till about 2:10. So you've got time. Just a few more minutes with you. Tell me how you make a tune.
So it's different. Sometimes I'll have the idea before I go in, and like if I'm at work and I'll come up with a bass line, whip my phone out and record me humming the bass line and then go home and try and remake it. That doesn't always work. Sometimes it sounds better in your head. But if I'm stuck for an idea, I'll just start with some drums, and then if you build an interesting enough drum loop with some breaks chopped in a certain way, then you get an idea for a bass line. Or find a sample and think, oh, I could do something with this, you know. This rarely, I might start with the intro as well.
What do you use? What?
I'm on Reason.
Okay.
Yeah, not many people are on Reason, but...
That's the one with the wires, isn't it?
Yeah. I only do a little bit with the wires. That's too much for me.
Yeah.
But I've always used Reason, so I did that at college, and I used Ableton for a bit, but I just went back to Reason. I'm just quicker with that. I get bored too quickly, so I like to get my ideas done down nice and quick, and then go back and do any tweaks and changes. But
wicked. So, do you know what? Before we get you on the decks, anybody you want to thank?
I'll thank anyone for supporting my tunes, you know, and obviously my wife, Laura, and, you know, all my family. But yeah, anyone who's been supporting my tracks or released my tunes or come to see me play, you know, it's I never thought it would happen. So
dreams can come true.
It is a dream come true. Sometimes, like, look at some of the releases, like when I first signed tunes with Ram or Liquid V, and I was like, if I could go back to when I was a kid and say, look, you're going to have these tunes out, or you're going to go here and DJ, or I'll be sat here. I would have gone, I don't know what I would have done. I would have fainted probably. So,
but yeah. I think that's nice of your humbleness, because you feel it, you love it.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, what raves did you used to go to and watch DJs and think, I want a piece of that?
In Ipswich, Danny C had a residency. He had his own night called Workout in Ipswich. And I used to go to that religiously. It was hard because none of my mates are into drum and bass. So there was one I used to drag along to that. I didn't like to go on my own, but there was one I used to drag along. So didn't go to that many raves, but that one I used to go, like, you know, every month I was there. There was another one in Ipswich called Essence, which they had, you know, they used to get some big names down.
Did you used to go Waterfront? Norwich?
Yeah, been a couple of times to Waterfront.
And they used to do them at the UEA as well, didn't they?
Yeah, I didn't go to UEA.
There were some big ones there.
Yeah.
Man, like Conrad Tubbs, you know, in the building, it's Blueprint, episode 17. This is how we're rolling out right now. I think we should get Con to do a little set before he leaves. Listen, thank you so much for coming all the way today. Do you know what I mean? No, man. Like, listen, you've earned your stripes, and I'm so happy for it. Like, for me, when I see... where you've come from 2017, and it's all right, we've had pandemic 2017, 18, and then 19 and 20 was kind of locked off.
Wiped out, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? 21 was kind of getting back into things,
yeah.
And then 20, now we're in 2022. That's 6 years ago,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's all about maintaining. And what I really love, Con, about you is, like I said, I don't think you realize how talented you are, because you've got this kind of musical signature, and sometimes you can't always bring that to the front because you're kind of caught up in, like, well, I don't want to push it too far, yeah. But I think you should always make music from the heart, because yeah. I think you're an artist that's so versatile that you could do anything that you put your mind to, because yeah. you've got that musicality inside you, so yeah. I think you should concentrate on that. I'd be looking forward to hearing your album, and your, make sure you keep me on your mailing list, you know, bro.
Yeah, you are, don't worry. I'm still working on my next ready.
Yeah,
well.
good. Actually, you've done a remix for me. What's
Chopper remix I did.
Yeah, and the other one, Where Have All Your People... No, hold on a minute. I was smashing it, because basically, I mean, it's 28 years of dread now. We had 25 years of dread. Then we had the pandemic. Now we've come out at 28. So I'm going to do a USB with some of the remixes. What was the one that you did?
I don't know. Did I do one?
Yeah, you did.
Maybe I've forgotten. I've done something.
You've probably forgotten. And I was playing it and I was thinking, yeah. You've done the Chopper one.
Yeah. Which I've got a new version to play.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I like that. Everyone comes on the show with something slightly new. Elisa done it last week. She's like, have you heard this one?
I was going to send it to you before. I thought I was surprising.
No, we want you to roll out. I'll do a little bit of, well, I won't call it emceeing. I'll just be hosting. So listen, if you want your shouts out, Man Like Conrad Subs. Oh, give us your socials. Where can we catch you?
Conrad Subs, D&B, everywhere. Pretty much Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud. I have got a TikTok, but I don't use it. Yeah, maybe I should.
I've just started on that, actually. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's good for putting out like little videos of music. I think if you're DJing and little clips and stuff.
I might start getting on that.
Yeah, I think it's all social media vibes right now. Man Like Conrad Subs in the building. Bigging up my Thames Delta family. It's episode 17 of The Blueprint. We keep going. We keep smashing forward. These guys are the future. These guys are the guys that are carrying the torch of Jungle D&B. And let me tell you something. They are sick. Like, check him out. He's super, super talented. And that's why we wanted to get you on the show. Big man, do your thing. I'm going to sort out a microphone and let you roll out. Looking forward to hearing some tunes. Let's move this over.